Welcome to the Christ Community Church podcast. Kevin Allman here with you with Pastor Richard White. How are you, Richard?
Doing well. Thank you, Kevin.
Well, we have a question today about Scripture and understanding it for the Christian. And here it is. It's, what does the infallibility of Scripture mean? Is it important for me to know this as a Christian? So what is infallibility, and is it important for me to know what that means as a Christian?
It's more important to believe it than it is to know, to be able to describe the concept. There's a lot of words thrown around, inspired, infallible, inerrant, authoritative. And all these words, they do come together. So let me first of all just walk through,
this. Thank you.
And the key passage for the infallibility or inspiration of Scripture, all this is 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17. And I'll just read this. All Scripture. Now, Paul's writing this, and, he has said earlier in one of his other letters that, I too have, heard from the Lord. And he's the gospel writers and the writers of Scripture were writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and writing as a, this is what God is speaking to us. So I think it's not just the Old Testament here, but even what the early church was writing. But it does get complex, and when was the canon finalized and all that, granted. But all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Just to answer the first question, is it important for me to know? Yes, that you may be equipped for every good work and have the confidence that these are the good works, so I need to walk in them. They're important for reproof, for correction, for teaching, that we may live a right life in this world. So it comes back to, all Scripture is breathed out by God. Well, this is the where we get the word inspiration, inspired, breathing of the Spirit in, the breath of God. This is the passage that, and there's other scriptures that, it wasn't that these people thought up the word, but it was holy, men carried along by the Holy Spirit, and God breathed into them, as it were, his word, what he wanted his people to know. Now, this doesn't mean God took over their personalities. Throughout the Bible, personalities come out, writing styles come out. There's a whole genre of poetry, narrative, historical accounts, and proverbial sayings, wisdom literature. So God uses the forms of the day. I mean, there's treaties that reflect the treaties of, first and second century BC. God uses the forms and the personalities of people, but he superintends. It wasn't dictation theory, but the inspiration of Scripture is that God is using the means of people and their personalities and their abilities. Some are really great writers and some are really poor writers. And you have kind of marginal Greek and really kind of high style Greek, the book of Hebrews, for instance. Mm-hmm. And so God uses those people with their gifts and abilities, but he superintends that what is written is his word. Now, that's a mystery. And at one level, it's miraculous, but it is God inspiring men to write his word. Great. We have something that's inspired. But what does that also lead to? Well, if it's God who's breathing in, it has to be infallible because God himself is infallible. God is perfect. He does not lie. And so when we talk about the infallibility of Scripture, what we mean by that is that it is without error in what it is teaching. It's not teaching molecular science. It's not teaching the theory of mathematics, or it's not teaching English grammar. You know? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that the Bible's not teaching. But what it is teaching is the way of salvation. It's teaching us about who God is and who we are and the creation and the fall and how God has pursued us to redeem us through Jesus. So primarily, that's what it's teaching. It's teaching us how to worship and to live a life of faith. So this is what the Bible's focused on. And and it's infallible in what it is speaking to because God's character is infallible. Hebrews 6:18 talks about how God who does not lie and who cannot lie, it's impossible. God's a God of truth. It's impossible for him to lie. There's no darkness, no falsehood in God. And so what he breathes in, what he inspires, has to be infallible. That also means, and very closely with that, means that it's inerrant. It's without error. Now, here's where it gets a little tricky because we are full of errors. I was watching the debate last night, and boy, was that discouraging. I couldn't wait for that thing to end. But, you know, today all the fact checkers, are going to be, what he said, she said, this was right, this was wrong, and, blah, 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 blah. Well, we are not inerrant because we are not infallible. We are fallible human beings, and so we've got to fact check our words. I don't care. The greatest minister in the pulpit is still a sinner and does not know everything and will speak things out of the flesh, will speak things that are fallible and potentially full of error. So we want to be very careful, when we deal with one another on the human level. And so when the copyists of Scripture were, these scribes through the years were copying Scripture down, they themselves are fallible people. So they might write something down, didography, where they maybe copy the line twice, or maybe they miss a line, and or maybe they use a wrong word. And so are there errors in the Bible? Well, there are errors in the manuscripts because people copying them are fallible people. But if you put all the manuscripts together and you do the comparison, we have basically, I think, what the original text was of Scripture. We have what God intended to be put down, and there is no error certainly in these doctrines of Scripture that lead us to salvation in Christ alone. So there's no error in God presenting who he is, the fallen state of humanity, the need for redemption, the means of redemption, what a life of faith is, the coming of the Holy Spirit. I mean, these are truths, again, based on the infallible character of God who does not lie. And he has breathed this truth, the Scripture, into these writers of Scripture. And it's been recorded for our benefit. So inspired, God-breathed, it's infallible and without error because of God's character. But then it's also authoritative, meaning it will not fail. And some people just want to say, well, God's word's authoritative. That's true, but it's so much more than that. The reason it's authoritative is based on the character of God, the power of God, the sovereignty of God over all things. And there's a great verse in Isaiah 55, I'll just start in verse 10. It's appropriate. It's a rainy day today. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. I often, on a Sunday morning, I turn to this passage or I'm thinking and praying about this passage. Lord, I'm about to open your word to your people. And I know that you're going to send your word and it's not going to return void. It's not going to return empty. You're going to accomplish things here today. I may not see it, but I trust the power of your word and it is going to run and you will accomplish your purposes. Why? Because it's authoritative. It accomplishes what God sends it for. So back to the original question, why is it important for me to know this? It's important for me to take my stand on God's word as the authority over my life and my world. Even in dark times when it looks like, you know, where is God and the world is coming apart, I go back to his word. You know, he's the ruler over the nations. He's working his purposes out for his glory, for our good. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. That's where I, at the end of the day, and maybe the beginning of the day now, I've got to fall and take my stand and my confidence. And again, all of this goes back into, we have a trustworthy God who speaks a true word, a faithful word, an infallible, inerrant word, and it comes with power. It comes with all authority. God will accomplish everything that he said for his glory and for our good. And so that's where we want to live, in that kind of confidence. And so, yeah, this issue of what is the word of God and the authority, the infallibility of it, it's an important doctrine to live out of. Simply so we're not blown around by the latest word or, you know, thinking God's opinion or the Bible is a guide for us among many guides. It's not. It's totally unique among all other literature in this world, all other voices in this world. And so we must pay attention to this word, and we can rely on it fully. Though the promise seems to delay, we wait, and we wait in confident expectation. God's going to do what he says that he's going to do.
What if someone were to ask you, okay, I hear what you're saying. How do we know that these books, because there was, it wasn't haphazard. There was a very thoughtful process that went into pulling together the books of the Bible.
Right. And I, it might be best to come back, do another podcast on that one. I'd love to dig up just some of the information, the factual information, which I just don't have in my brain today, this morning. But basically, yeah, I mean, the early church settled this for us. And it took several hundred years, really, of deciding which are the books, especially of the New Testament. Pretty much the Old Testament canon was in place, I think, by around 70 A.D., and even before that. But there are certain tests that the early church used, especially into the second and third centuries, for how do we know this is true and that is not? You know, the Gospel of Thomas, why is that not? And just, you know, real briefly on that, there's been, you know, popularity with, was it the Da Vinci Codes and stuff like that? And, you know, all these other books of the Bible, you know, that were not included. And why is that? And so many of the reasons come down to, they lack the character, of a redeeming Christ. For instance, Jesus, I think it's in the Gospel of Thomas, he's a little boy and he makes little clay pigeons and they fly. Could Jesus have done that? Absolutely. He had the power to do that. But that's out of character. What's the purpose of that? It's a miracle is a sign pointing to God and God's power and God's purposes. Maybe it points to God's power, but it doesn't point to the saving purposes of God. And so many of these miracles, you know, in these other books are just, they're out of character. It's like, okay, yeah, I suppose Jesus could do that, but how does that fit in the overall purposes of God in pursuing a fallen, lost humanity to redeem them through his son, Jesus. And so there's things like that that are interesting and the early church wrestled with that then drew them to the conclusion these are books of the canon, the Bible, and these others are not. But it will return to that.
Yeah, I think so. Well, thank you. Will you pray for us?
I will, yes. Our Father, we're grateful for the Word of God, and thank you that it's not one word among many, but it is the word that stands out above all. And we can truly build our lives on it. We can bank on this word because you are not a liar. You are a true God. And thank you that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. You will do what you have said. Though we wait, Lord, we trust. And we will all see someday. We will look back at some point in eternity and say, wow, every word you spoke was true. And we will praise you for all eternity for your faithfulness. And Lord, may we not have to wait until then, but Lord, as your people, may we trust your word today, living opposite our culture that doubts authority, that doubts your word, that doubts the integrity of the printed word, the recorded Bible, the word of God. Lord, may we be very different who would stake our lives on the truth of your word and live humbly and holy lives for Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.